Today on Hardwired.
The only box you ought to put the Holy Spirit in is the parameters of the Word of God. That's the only box the moving of the Holy Spirit should be in, the parameters of the Word of God. If you're saying something is the moving of the Holy Spirit, but it's nowhere to be found in the Word of God, I think it's questionable for sure. But as long as it's in the parameters of the Word of God, you can't put the Spirit of God in a box.
You're listening to Hardwired with Pastor Jeff Wickwire. Thanks for allowing us to share this time with you. It's our favorite time of the day where we get to hang out together and hear about how the truth of God's Word can make a huge difference as it's hardwired into your life, your relationships, and your future. You may be stuck in traffic or maybe even stuck in life. Either way, today's message is going to help you get on the right track as you learn how much God loves you right where you are. And if for any reason you have to break away before the end of the program, you can always catch it at our website, hardwired.org. That's hardwired.org. So let's go ahead and get right into today's message. Here's Pastor Jeff to set it up for us.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to this edition of Hardwired. Thank you so much for joining us. You know, the gifts of the Spirit have been controversial for as long as I can remember. People ask, are they still for today? Does God still move in power by His Spirit? Did the gifts, as some claim, pass away with the apostles? What is the balanced biblical view of the gifts? Well, if these are questions you've been asking, I invite you to join me for our brand new series on the gifts of the Spirit. In today's message, I'm going to bring an overview of what exactly the gifts of the Spirit are and how we receive them. I'm eager to share part two of the message, the gifts of the Spirit. So let's get started.
I'm just calling this tonight a simple introduction to the gifts of the Spirit of God. Let me just open up at the very beginning. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 1, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I don't want you to be ignorant." Now that's really the beginning of Paul's discussion on the spiritual gifts. Here it is. About spiritual gifts, mainly, brethren, I don't want you to be uninformed. I want you to understand the gifts. I don't want you to be ignorant. So this is Paul's introduction to the gifts of the Spirit. He begins with the main point, we're not to be ignorant about them. And with this verse, we can conclude that every Christian should have a basic understanding of the gifts. Every Christian, no matter what denomination you're in or not, if you're a Christian, the Bible is clear, we should understand the gifts of the Spirit. So let's cover just some basic facts tonight about them. First of all, our God is a giver. How many of you know our God is a giver? He's a giving God. For God so loved the world, He kept His only begotten Son. Is that what it says? No. God so loved the world, say it with me, He gave. And you know what? The Bible says He gave His Son when we were His enemies. He gave His Son when we had no idea we even needed to be saved. He gave His Son when we were cursing Him, blaspheming Him, living our lives totally against Him. He gave His Son. But then having given His Son, Jesus the Son gave the gift of the Holy Spirit to His church. So God gave His Son, the Son gave the Spirit. Jesus says in John 16:7, "But I tell you the truth, it's to your advantage I go away. For if I don't go away, the helper, the comforter, advocate, intercessor, counselor, strengthener, standby," you can tell this is the amplified version, "will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him, the Holy Spirit, to you." Now notice Jesus said, it is to your advantage that I go. It's to your benefit. You're going to be better off that I'm crucified, and when I come back from the dead, I go to heaven. And reaching heaven, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit to you. And you're better off for that. Because Jesus could only be in one place at one time. But the Holy Ghost is all over the entire world right now. Amen? So it's to our advantage that God sent the Holy Spirit. So the Father gave the Son gave the Spirit, and the Spirit, in turn, gives His gifts. The gifts of the Spirit to every born again person. 1 Corinthians 12, 11, all these things, the gifts, the achievements, the abilities, the empowering are all brought about by one and the same Holy Spirit, distributing to how many? Say those two words with me, everybody. Distributing to each one. Now, the last time I looked, each one meant everyone. Right? He distributes to each one. Okay? And look what it says. Each one individually as he, the Spirit, chooses. So when he gave the Son, we didn't even know that he was doing it. But he gifted us with the Son. Then the Son gifted us with the Holy Spirit. Then the Holy Spirit gifted us with his gifts that we're going to be studying in the next few weeks. Now, all three, we had nothing to do with it. They were gifts of grace. They came because of grace. They came because of grace and only because of grace. Why did God do it? I don't know, because he decided to. God so loved the world that he decided to bless us with the Son, and the Son blessed us with the Spirit, and the Spirit blessed us with spiritual gifts. And they all came by grace. By grace. Amen. So everybody say charisma. So everyone in here has a charisma. You all have a charisma, which is my second point. Every Christian has a charisma, a spiritual gift. Paul wrote to the Corinthian church. Say it with me, the next two words. Each man. That was about five of you. Let's try it again. Each man has his own gift from God. So each man, each woman, every born-again person has a gift, a charisma, his own charisma from God. Listen to the Apostle Peter. He wrote as, what are the next two words again? Each one. Look at all these, each man, each one, each one. I think the Bible wants us to understand everybody got a gift. Right? Everybody got a gift. So let's say together tonight, I'm gifted. I'm gifted. Let's try it again. I'm gifted. Now, is that bragging? No. If it's true, it's not bragging. It's true. We all been gifted. Now, he says, as each one has received a gift, a charisma, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. So notice, we weren't given the gift for us. We were given it to minister to one another. Now, the next thing about gifts, there are a variety of gifts. The Bible says, 1 Corinthians 12, verse 4, there are different kinds of spiritual gifts, different kinds, but the same Spirit is the source, the giver, the imparter of them all. So there's a great variety of gifts, and the Holy Spirit is the one who has given them to all of us. And not only are there a variety of gifts, folks, there are different outlets for the gifts. It says there are differences of ministries. This is verse 5. There are differences of ministries, and that means outlets for service, but the same Lord. Look, here's honor bound. That's an outlet. It's a tributary out of which the flow reaches people that others are not going to reach. Church is an outlet. Wherever you go and wherever God leads you, he opens outlets. There's different outlets for the gifts. And it's not just at church. No, you got to take it out of the four walls. There's different outlets everywhere you go. You're a blessing everywhere you go. And there are different results. So there's a variety of gifts. There's different outlets. And there's different results from those outlets. The Bible says, verse 6, and there are distinctive ways of working to accomplish things. But it's the same God who produces all things in all believers, inspiring, energizing, and empowering them. So there's different results. You know, somebody can be healed. Somebody can be encouraged. Somebody can be delivered. Somebody can be saved. Somebody can be sanctified. Somebody can be released into ministry. There's different results from the working of the Holy Spirit. And that's why you can't put him in a box. The only box you ought to put the Holy Spirit in is the parameters of the Word of God. That's the only box the moving of the Holy Spirit should be in, the parameters of the Word of God. If you're saying something is the moving of the Holy Spirit, but it's nowhere to be found in the Word of God, I think it's questionable for sure. But as long as it's in the parameters of the Word of God, you can't put the Spirit of God in a box, because He may move this way over here and another way over there. He may move in a way that you don't expect or know. Like Dwayne was telling me, he was getting gas and he had just filling his motorcycle up with gas, and he was wearing this vest, and somebody came up and said, "Do you have any oil?" And he thought they were talking about car oil. And they said, no, I need to be healed. I mean, you're wearing that vest. You must be a believer. Do you have any oil?" And right there at the gas station, God created an outlet for the Spirit's operations. Amen. Right, Dwayne? Amen. So here's somebody walking up and say, and so the Spirit of God moved. He ought to be moving at a gas station. He ought to be moving in Starbucks. He ought to be moving in Home Depot. He ought to be moving in Walmart. We have to get it in our heads that we're not just supposed to see it happen here. And I know I'm talking to the choir over here, because they go out. And you find that when you step out in faith, the Spirit of God will move anywhere, anywhere. So there's different results from the Spirit's operations. We need to understand again that the gifts of the Spirit are given to help others. He says in verse 7, the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. So it's not something you hoard. You don't get a gift so you can enjoy your gift. You're given a gift because gifts are to be given. A gift that's not given never realizes its full purpose. If you've got a gift up in the attic that's for Christmas, but you never go get it down, and when Christmas morning comes, it's not under the tree. Well, great, you had a gift. But what good did it do if you don't give it? What good does it do if we don't operate and move in the gifts God's put in us and give the gift, minister the gift to others so they can be blessed? Amen? And I have found through the years, joy comes in exercising our gift. Oh, man. There is joy in doing what God has made you to do. Can we say that together? There is joy in doing what God has made me to do.
Before Pastor Jeff comes back to wrap things up for us today, I'd like to share a couple of important things with you. Let me encourage you to take a minute and check out our website, hardwired.org. You'll find today's program, along with all of Pastor Jeff's messages. There's a growing list of great things to check out at the site. So hop on over and check it out, hardwired.org. That's hardwired.org. And be sure to tell your friends about the program. We know you're being blessed by it. I'm sure your friends will be as well. We're here to reach as many people for the Lord as we can. So getting the word out will help us on this mission. And that's what this program is all about. And Pastor Jeff's back now for the conclusion of today's program.
That's why I love doing what God has made me to do, because I always have a sense of incredible fulfillment. Look what happened when Jesus sent the 70 out. It says the 70 returned with what, everybody? Depression? No, they returned with joy, saying, "Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name." In other words, they got a taste of ministry. They got a taste of seeing people get set free. And so it brought joy to their life. Some Christians, man, if they smile, their face is in danger of cracking and crumbling. They look like the worst thing that ever happened to them was they got saved. They look like they were baptized in pickle juice. They look like they are in misery. And you look at them and you go, if that's what God did to you, I don't want your God. But no, when you really start flowing in the Holy Spirit, it brings joy unspeakable and full of glory. Amen. Now the next thing, the Spirit chooses which gift or gifts we get. He says in verse 11, it's the one and only Spirit who distributes all these gifts. He alone decides which gift each person should have. So think about this for a minute. The minute you got saved and the Holy Spirit came to live inside of you and you were born again, then, right then, He decided what gift He was going to give you. And He gave it. He gave it. When you got saved, you were also gifted. Is that not what the Bible says? He alone decides which gift each person should have. So whatever gift you've got, It's not cheap. It's not lowly. You say, well, I wish I was up on stage, you know, in front of everybody. No, you don't. No, you don't. You know what? We need to be thankful for the gift he gave us, because think about it. You have a treasure in the earthen vessel called your body. And it's the Holy Spirit, and it's a gift from heaven God gave you to bless others with. Man. So since spiritual gifts are given by God and distributed by the Holy Spirit, they belong to God, and they are given for the believer to steward and use for the glory of God. We don't own them. They're entrusted to us for God's glory and the edification of others. And according to the parable of the talents, one day we will answer to God for what we did with the gift that he put inside of us. And he's going to want to know one thing. Did you use it or did you lose it? Did it bless others or did it atrophy and wilt inside of you? Because we all got a gift. We all got a gift. And we're stewards of that gift. Amen? And if you don't know what yours is, hang on, because this series is going to probably show it to you. Because I'm going to talk to you about motivational gifts and a lot of things that are going to help you. Now, I've learned this for sure through the years. There is minimum weariness and maximum effectiveness when you serve God through your spiritual gift. If you want to see God do something through your life, move in your gift. Operate in your gift, because you will see maximum effectiveness and minimum weariness. I preach three times on a Sunday. Now, am I tired when I leave? Yes. But Cindy will tell you, sometimes I don't even take a nap on Sundays. You know what? Because I am so fulfilled and so at peace and so energized by moving in my gift. But if I went out there and I tried to operate in the realm of, say, somebody that deals with finances, like numbers and all of that, oh my gosh, I'm going to be exhausted in 5 minutes because it's not my gift. If I try going out there and operating in something that God didn't give me, I'm going to be exhausted in no time. One of the clearest ways to know you're moving in your gift or not is if you see the results and you feel energized. When our gift is properly exercised, it perfects and builds up the body of Christ every time. It's equally true that if we fail to exercise our gift, the body of Christ is weaker. So I read something recently that the trend in American church going has happened like this. People have decided, I'm going to go twice a month. I'm going to go two Sundays a month. More and more and more people are going two Sundays a month, one Sunday a month for various and sundry reasons. Do you know that if you went back 50 years in American life, you would find that that wasn't even an option. Right. People went to church. Yes, they went to church. That was what they did. They went to church. Soccer did not take its place. Right. Baseball didn't take its place. Running errands didn't take its place. Nothing preempted church. Right. They went to church. And when they went to church, everybody was touched by everybody's gift. But here's the deal. When a Christian decides not to regularly go to church, which, by the way, Jesus Christ did. He went to the synagogue every Saturday his whole life until he started his own ministry. He was in the synagogue every Saturday. Now, when people don't come, then the church is being robbed of their gift. Because the Bible says everybody has a gift, and we're to bless one another with it. And everybody is to profit from each other's gift. So if you don't come to church, you're robbing people, actually, of you being able to encourage them, you being able to exhort them, you being able to pray with them, you being able to whatever. Everybody with me? I'm not bringing condemnation here. I'm just letting you know that if God gave you a gift, he didn't give it to you for you to sit at home. No, we're to come and minister to one another, exhort one another, and all the much more as you see the day of Jesus' return approaching, Hebrews says. Now, spiritual gifts are mentioned in three places, and I'm going to kind of wind down and close with this. There's three places in the New Testament where gifts of the Spirit are mentioned. Let me jump through them real quickly. Romans 12, starting at verse 6. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us do what with them? Use them. And here comes the gifts. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministry. There's prophecy and ministry. Third, he who teaches in teaching. Fourth, he who exhorts in exhortation. Fifth, he who gives with liberality. Six, he who leads with diligence. And seven, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Now, there are seven gifts listed right there. Now we come to 1 Corinthians 12, verse 8. And here is sort of what most of you know about the gifts of the Spirit more than any of the other places in the New Testament. But here is Paul breaking it down for the Corinthians. To one is given a word of wisdom. That's a gift. Through the Spirit, always through the Spirit. To another, a word of knowledge through the same Holy Spirit. To another, number three, faith by the same Spirit. These are the ones we're going to look at next week. To another, gifts, plural, of healings, plural. Gifts of healings by the very same Spirit. To another, the working of plural miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. And to another, different kinds of tongues. And to another, the interpretation of tongues. That's nine gifts. So we got 16 so far. Now let me read five more and we'll close tonight. Ephesians 4, verse 7. But to each one of us, there's that each one again. To each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's what? Gift. Therefore, he says, when Jesus, talking about Jesus, when he ascended on high, when he rose again to go back to heaven, he led captivity captive. And what did he do? Read it with me. He gave gifts to men. Now he's going to tell us what gifts he's talking about in Ephesians. He himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors, and some teachers. Why? For the equipping of the saints. I want you to say with me, for the equipping of me. For what? The work of ministry. Now, wait a minute. Is that telling me that what we call the fivefold ministry, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, that they are called to equip me, and I'm called here a saint. I want you to say with me, I'm a saint. Now, you don't feel real saintly, but let me blow your mind with something. You're as much a saint as St. Paul, St. Peter, St. John. Pastor Jeff, that's sacrilegious. No, it's not. What made them saints? The same blood that covers you, right? Same blood that covers you made them a saint. So you're a saint. And what are you supposed to be doing as a saint? Working in ministry. Whoa. Well, Pastor Jeff, I just kind of like coming to church and sitting in a chair and watching you sweat and going home. And I'll just leave the ministry up to you. Well, then you've got church wrong. Because church is where God sets in pastors, teachers, and the fivefold ministry to equip you where you are equipped and ready and loaded for bear, where you can go do ministry's work as a saint called of God. Because you've got a gift that needs to be released. So there's 21 gifts mentioned just that we covered. 21. Word of wisdom, word of knowledge, faith, gifts of healing, working of miracles, prophecy, discerning of spirits, tongues, interpretation of tongues, helping, administration, ministry, teaching, encouragement, giving, leadership, mercy, apostleship, evangelism, pastor, teacher. So God, the Holy Spirit, gave those gifts to all of us. One of them. So I want you to stand with me tonight. Can we say again, I'm gifted? Now, it's not, you know, I don't want you to get all caught up in yourself and look in the mirror and sing, there is none like you. But I do want you to realize that you're gifted. You're gifted. And you're either going to use it or you're not.
You've been listening to Hardwired with Pastor Jeff Wickwire. It would mean the world to us to know how the program has helped you today. So take a quick minute and give us a call. 877-884-3111. Or you can connect with us at our website, hardwired.org. And if you enjoy the program as much as we love bringing it to you, let us know by your generous support. It would really mean a lot to us. There are daily costs associated with the program, and we truly do depend on the faithful financial support of our listeners like you to allow us to be on this station. So please, consider partnering with us today with your gifts to this ministry. You can call us at 877-884-3111 or go to the website hardwired.org. Again, call 877-884-3111 or at our website hardwired.org. Thank you for your loyal partnership, as we couldn't do this without you. And finally, Pastor Jeff is the founder and senior pastor of the vibrant Turning Point Church in Fort Worth, Texas. If you're ever in the area, we hope you'll stop by and say hi. And let us know that you listen to the program. That would really make our day. And Pastor Jeff would love to meet you personally, too. So till next time, have a great day. And thanks so much for listening to Hardwired.